Sai Ram from Prashanti Nilayam. Dear listeners, Radio Sai continues its weekly presentation of the talking book version of Mr. Howard Moffat's highly acclaimed book, Sai Baba, Man of Miracles. The author was among the very early Westerners who came to Satya Sai Baba as a skeptic in 1964, and drawn by his enigma, he stayed for considerable periods of time near him in the next 6 years. During this period, he conducted extensive research and probing investigations into the Sai phenomena. He published his findings as the book that has become a classic of Sai literature, often considered the primer which introduced Sri Satya Sai Baba to millions round the world. This book was first published in 1971. Since then, it has been instrumental in drawing millions of seekers to the loving path of Satya Sai. These readings, dear listeners, are being aired every week, and if you wish to revisit a chapter at any time, you can do so at our website radiosai.org. So dear listeners, welcome now to Sai Baba, Man of Miracles by Howard Moffat.
Sai Ram, and welcome to Radio Sai's Talking Book Session. This is a presentation of select excerpts from Mr. Howard Moffat's book, Sai Baba, Man of Miracles. We are now at the second half of Chapter 11, entitled Drift of Pinions. In the first half, you heard some well-documented episodes of Sri Satya Sai's astounding glory and powers. If you thought those experiences were unbelievable, brace yourselves for more such incidents in the concluding part of this chapter. Today, as we continue with the remaining experiences in Chapter 11, we bring you the story of a family in Chennai, the South Indian city formerly known as Madras. This family was instrumental in building the Shirdi Baba temple in Guindy. But what events led them to build this temple? How did Satya Sai Baba walk them through some of the most difficult parts of their lives? We are sure the account Mr. Howard Moffat brings you today is definitely worth your attentive listening.
Miss Leela Mudaliar is a lecturer in botany at Queen Mary College, Madras University. But in her off-duty hours, she acts as priestess in a small temple in Guindy, where she lives on the outskirts of Madras. Back in 1943, when Leela was 14 years old, that little temple did not exist, and the events which led to its construction and to this young scientist's dedicated service there are about as inexplicable as one could imagine. The first strange event was a prophecy some 40 years earlier that the temple would be built where it now stands. In 1904, a wandering Siddhi Purusha asked permission of Leela's grandfather to build a tomb for himself on a piece of land owned by the grandfather at Guindy. The latter gave permission, and the holy man prophesied that to the right of his tomb there would be a temple to a great saint and to the left an industrial estate. The holy man was reputed to be 125 years of age at the time he entered the tomb, went into Mahasamadhi, permanently left the body, that is, and was buried. His earlier prophecy had been written on palm leaf and seen by many people, including Leela's father, Mr. M.J. Logananda Mudaliar. At this period, in the first years of this century, the land on which the tomb stood was surrounded by open country. Today, the little temple stands close by on the tomb's right, and to its left an industrial estate, just as the prophet foretold half a century earlier. But before the prophecy was fulfilled, some dark events were to take place on this piece of land. In the early 1940s, a Gujarat Swami put up a grass hut and settled down near the tomb of the holy man. But this Swami was of the left-hand path. he soon became known in the district as a black magician who had broken up families and ruined several people's lives through his powers of sorcery, unclean siddhis. Logananda Mudaliar, who was then owner of the land, ordered the Gujarat black magician to leave, but he flatly refused to do so. Several times this happened, and finally in 1943, Mudaliar took a bailiff and went to his Gindi land. The sorcerer was not at home, and so in his absence, they proceeded to demolish his grass hut. Then just as the demolition was about to be completed, the magician returned. His rage was enormous. He fumed and shouted. Finally, he put a curse of madness on Logananda Mudaliar. Looking at him with burning eyes, he said, "By tomorrow, you will be a raging lunatic." Logananda Mudaliar was not troubled. He thought himself immune from such black powers. He did not even bother to mention the incident to his wife or daughter Leela. But the very next day, the madness came upon him. "He was utterly insane and violent," Leela said. The superintendent of the mental hospital in Madras was called and said that my father must be taken to the hospital. But evidently, Logananda's wife was against this move. She decided to keep him at home for another day, hoping and praying that he might improve, even though she had great difficulty in holding him down during his fits of violence. The madness had attacked him on a Friday. He was violently insane for 2 days, and then during Saturday night or early Sunday morning, he had a dream or vision. In this, a young Swami came to him and gave him a vessel containing water and tulsi leaves, telling him to drink and he would be cured. This Logananda Mudaliar did, and the young Swami disappeared. When Logananda awoke next morning, the madness had gone. He told his wife and daughter about the vision, describing the Swami as a young man dressed in a red robe, with thick black hair that stood out from his head in a mop like a woman's hair. At the time of this event, Satya Sai Baba, then a young man, was staying at the house of a devotee in Madras. Before lunch on the Sunday following Logananda Mudaliar's dream, Baba was being driven by car to another devotee's house. On the way, he directed the car so that it passed near the Mudaliar home. When they arrived at the house, he asked his devotees to wait in the car as he had someone to see inside. Logananda was still resting in his room after his stormy mental sickness, and the young red-robed visitor was taken into him by Leela and her mother. As soon as the young man entered, Logananda recognized him as the healer of his dream. Sai Baba confirmed this in his opening words. "Last night, I came to you and gave you tulsi water. I will now make sure that you have no more madness." With a wave of his hand, he produced a protective talisman for Logananda to hang around his neck. The latter tried to prostrate himself before the astounding young Swami, but found that his knee had gone out of joint. Baba, practical as well as miraculous, gave Logananda's foot a sharp tug, and the knee joint came right again. "You are God," Mudaliar declared, going down on his knees. He held Baba by the ankles and tried to lift him off the floor. Baba laughed and made him desist, patting him affectionately on the back. Later, taking the wife aside, Baba told her to go to their plot of land at Gindi and look for some broken pieces of pottery on the surface. She must dig beneath these and would find there the bodies of a goat and a hen. These carcasses must be removed as they were connected with the sorcery rites that had brought about the madness. Next, Baba phenomenally produced a lime and told her to put it under her husband's pillow without his knowledge. Finally, with another hand wave, the young visitor produced vibhuti and gave some to each of the family. As he was leaving, he told Logananda Mudaliar that he must come to Puttaparthi as soon as possible. That day, Leela and her mother went to the Gindi land, where they found and removed the dead animals as instructed. The next day, Logananda left for Puttaparthi. Many strange and wonderful things happened to him there, and he came back more than ever convinced that Sai Baba was an incarnation of divinity.
But this was not all. When Logananda decided to build a house for Baba on his Gindi land, he had another vision. This time, it was that of Shirdi Baba. Shirdi Baba appeared to him in a dream and ordered him to erect, instead of the house, a temple for Sai Baba, and to install therein a statue of Shirdi Baba. And on the day following the dream, a letter arrived from Satya Sai Baba with exactly the same instructions as given in the dream.
So the temple was built, Logananda selling 3 houses to raise the money. Meanwhile, a sculptor in Madras began having recurrent lucid dreams in which he was told that there was work for him to do at Guindy, that he must go to Guindy railway station. The dreams so impressed the sculptor that finally he took the train and alighted at the platform at Guindy. There he was accosted by a man who knew his name and said, "Please come with me." Puzzled, the sculptor followed. The stranger led him to the site where the temple was under construction and introduced him to Logananda Mudaliar as the artist who had come to do the statue of Shirdi Baba. Then the stranger departed, and neither the sculptor nor Mudaliar ever saw him again. The outcome of the incident was that the sculptor agreed to do the statue. He had never seen the old saint in his life and had only a picture to guide him in the work. But strangely enough, there was no difficulty. Some subtle, intelligent force seemed to direct his brain and hand. The figure in black granite shows Shirdi Baba sitting in characteristic posture, right leg resting horizontally across the left knee. Like Michelangelo's marble Moses in a little church in Rome, it gave me personally the immediate impression that it was alive. On the day when Satya Sai installed it in the temple with due rites and ceremonies, the several hundred people present thought that the figure had really come to life. It levitated, they say, about 3 feet above its pedestal, stayed suspended in air for a few seconds, and then dropped into position again. When the building was completed in 1947, Logananda left his home and took up residence in the temple to look after it and carry out the pujas there. After he died, Leela took his place, living in her brother's house nearby, but sleeping and spending most of her time in the temple itself. One Sunday morning, my wife and I cycled over from the Theosophical Society estate at Adyar to visit Leela at Guindy, about 2 miles distant. First, she showed us over the grounds. We saw the tomb of the prophet and those of Leela's father and mother. Then we went into the little temple itself. Here, I felt a powerful atmosphere, a being upward feeling, such as I have experienced at certain other spots on earth, at Lourdes, in the Cathedral of Chartres, and at Fatima in Portugal, for example. There is a strong impression of being brushed by the gentle, beneficent pinions of invisible worlds, and here there was an incident that served to confirm this impression. 2 flowers were before Shirdi Baba's statue when Leela led us to it, accompanied by another visitor, an old friend of ours from Puttaparthi named Balbir Kaur, the Kanwarani of Ladran in the Punjab. Leela presented a flower from the vase to each of the 2 ladies as a token of blessings from Sai Baba. Soon after that, we went to the far end of the temple. The lady sat on a grass mat on the floor to talk. Leela had kindly provided me with a chair, but it was too far away for me to join in the conversation. So I drew it across the tiled floor to within a few feet of the grass mat. After about 10 minutes of talk, Balbir pointed to my feet and in a surprised, mystified tone said, "Look, see what's come." My feet were a few inches apart, and midway between them on the polished tiles lay a lovely little orange-colored flower. I knew for certain that this flower had not been there when I sat down, for I had noted specially the simple plain tiles as I placed my chair in position. The floor had been completely bare. Furthermore, the flower could not have been dropped by any other visitor after I sat down, for no one had come near our group. "Such flowers are not found anywhere in this district," commented Leela, the botanist, after examining it. A young man, who also helped in the temple, drawn by our animated discussion, came across to our corner. When he was told what had taken place, he said to Leela, "Yes, I saw you give a flower to each of the ladies and not to the gentleman. Now one has come to him through the power of Sai Baba. What a gesture of grace." Leela, who has seen many miracles at the temple, agreed without surprise. We 3 visitors were filled with a strange joy, as if we had just seen Baba himself. The powers of other worlds seemed to find easy entrance to this sweet little sanctuary with its rare purity and freedom from any taint of commercialization or exploitation by priestcraft.
Well, that was indeed a jumbo serving of fascinating Sai glory. let us stop at this point. More when we get together again. Meanwhile, all the best and Jai Sai Ram. You have been listening to a presentation of excerpts from Mr. Howard Murfitt's book, Sai Baba, Man of Miracles. This book has been published in 1971 by Frederick Miller Limited in London.